Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Into the Neuroverse presents
Sort Your Brain Out. Baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. And let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out. Lady, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, sort your brain out, mate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Into the Neuroverse, the Sort Your Brain Out episode. Why do I have two podcasts, Andrew?
I like it. Yeah, constant variety. Never know what to expect.
It's like Russ Abbott's Funhouse, isn't it? You don't know what character's going to pop up.
That's not a reference wasted
on you. Oh, God.
I knew about Tom Robinson Band earlier, though.
You did? Wow. Is he quite an inspiration, Tom Robinson?
I do really like his stuff. I've got the Power in the Darkness album.
The Power in the Darkness?
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
It's a weird one. I don't know if you know much about his...
Not really. I only know he did Sing If You're Glad to Be Gay.
Yeah, so
he was gay.
He was. He's now married to a woman, so I think he's bisexual, but he was very proudly identified as gay during the time.
Right.
And all of his songs are like, glad to be gay, the government's awful, very socialist, communist.
Is there one called The Government's Awful?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, God.
But then he's got 2460...
2468...
Motorway, yeah.
Is it motorway? I thought he said never too late.
No, it's motorway, yeah.
Motorway. He's just talking about the motorway.
Yeah, and that's like one of his biggest hits. It's like on all the sort of dad albums, you know?
Oh, I like that, because he's changing the system from the inside. He's getting into those drive time guys.
Yeah.
It's like Queen were quite like that, weren't they?
And if you play it backwards, it's actually the Communist Manifesto.
Wonderful. How many times have you read the Communist Manifesto now?
Never.
Never? Oh, you must.
Have you?
No. Of course, no one has. But we just had a chat with Joe Wells, mm-hmm. who you knew quite well, which slightly put me on edge. I was like, okay, is this a prank? Is this podcast I've created?
I know,
I'm very paranoid today, aren't I? I think I got my coffee order wrong. Mm. I did too much coffee.
Oh, do you have like a double shot or something?
I've gone into, you have one when I get up and then 6 hours later, because apparently caffeine lasts for 6 hours.
Mm.
And if I deviate from that, it can go very wrong.
Interesting.
Very interesting, isn't it? But I was fine. I was good, wasn't I?
I talked
a bit about foreskins and stuff, which mm-hmm. you're going to hear in a minute.
I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, but Joe is a wonderful comedian, isn't he? Let's talk about Joe. That's what this is about.
Yeah, sorry.
We never got round to that. So Joe's a brilliant comedian who is autistic and talks about it in his set.
Yes.
To great aplomb.
What a beautiful phrase.
He's just done Edinburgh, mm-hmm. doing a show brilliantly called King of the Autistics. Obviously, I didn't get round to talking about that. You know, one thing I realised as he was talking, answering a question that I'd ask him, I'd be thinking... Oh, I'm not talking about myself much, am I? I sort of remind myself internally, no, that's not the idea we're meant to be hearing from Joe. And we did, didn't we?
We did.
So I hope you enjoy it. Go see Joe Wells. And I hope it gives you some little bit of hope and comfort if you're one of the many misshapes.
Oh, that's a nice reference. That was really good. Mm. Towards the end of the podcast, that will make a lot of sense.
That will make more
reference.
Sense. Yeah. Okay. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hello, thank you for coming on the show.
Joe, I watched...
You've enjoyed your almond croissant.
It was wonderful, yeah. I've made a real
caused
mess.
Caused a lot of mess everywhere.
I know. I've made more mess
ate like
you.
An absolute dog. Well, there's a few... There are a few, but I've managed to cover it with a book.
Oh, you covered them with your fancy book.
Collins Creations. This is what my mother-in-law bought me this, Andrew. Collins Creations. I think she thinks I'm about seven.
For the listeners there,
Collins.
What do you call that pen?
It's beautiful, isn't it? She bought it me quite a while ago. From a marketplace, I think. It's like a gel pen, isn't it? There's a dragon, And it says Collins Creations. I like that.
That's amazing. The dragon is burning down a castle.
It's attacking the cat in much the way I, you know, defy sort of orthodox thought. Is that's the sort of thing, the telling of, that's the idea of this show, really. But what were you going to say? You were about to say something.
Oh, I wanted to know what the podcast was. So I listened to the Toby Williams episode. I still don't know what it is.
No, that's fair
but
enough.
I enjoyed it a lot. It's very, very funny.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Well, the idea, so I've got this podcast called Into the Neuroverse.
Yes.
Which is, I've quite a classic ADHD thing, I suppose, and very classic me thing. Mm. I've ended up making it more than one thing. I can't even just settle on what the podcast is. So it's called Into the Neuroverse, and it's me on my journey discovering neurodiversity. Mm. Half of it is me just chatting into a microphone and, as we talked earlier, creating a cult that gives me lots of money is the dream.
Yep.
And then, but a nice one.
Yeah, yeah. And then
a nice, even-handed cult. And then the other one is to chat to people I like and admire. And also,
which one am I?
It's like and admire.
Oh, I see.
I've got to like you and admire you.
Oh, my God.
God, do you know?
I thought it was one or the other.
My daughter's got very into Minecraft and on the Switch. That's a nightmare. I have to keep logging her in because you put parental controls on, don't you? You don't have children, but you feel you should. And now I think, I feel like they've deliberately made it hard.
What's happening in Minecraft that they need parental controls for?
I don't, well, because she wants to get where they're, it sounds fun. They sort of have to get challenged to build a thing,
right?
And so she's talking to these people, and they're oh, but I don't. Right. She's talking to them, but it's very
okay.
I don't want it to I want it to go away. I want to go back in time and not give her a Switch for her birthday. But you have to sign into Microsoft and then sign into it, another thing, something else. What is it? Then sign into Nintendo, and then it keeps going off, and you have to sign in again and out again and again. It's horrendous.
That sounds
It's horrendous. Why did I tell you that?
Yeah, sorry.
Why did that? That's I'm so sorry.
Even within the context of ADHD, that was a real non-sequitur,
wasn't it? That was insane, wasn't it? But so the idea is I'm trying to sort my brain out, which I realise is also quite offensive.
You're going into is that was that
could
the,
be could well be. We you know, someone has created the entire universe in Minecraft.
The universe, not well,
the known universe.
Wow!
And it took them 2 months, and it's detailed.
Wow!
It's incredible,
how
isn't it? Really detailed. I mean, presumably it hasn't got every. What is it? He's got every person on the planet. I don't know. He's got like the whole universe.
The
he's done it. He's just done it. God, it's probably he must be neurodiverse, mustn't he? Is that offensive to say that?
I think Minecraft is quite common amongst the...
It probably... Yeah. It's probably a very helpful tool. They must have made billions.
Well, Pete Warmby wrote a book about special interests, and Minecraft was one of them.
Oh,
Minecraft
did he?
And Lego, yeah.
What would you say is your main special... Sorry, I'm jumping ahead a lot. But do you have a particular special interest, would you say?
Mine all turn out to be problematic.
Okay.
When I was a teenager, it was Marilyn Manson.
Oh, it was Marilyn Manson.
About Marilyn Manson. I probably... My CD collection when I was 14...
CD collection, more like.
Yeah.
Very
thin. I'd say 80% Marilyn Manson.
Oh, fuck.
It was a sizable collection, but I had
that's
every
a lot
album.
I didn't know he did... How many CDs did he do?
Well, at that point, he had 4 albums, and so I probably owned about...
So you had 6 albums.
40 CDs.
Oh, wow.
Albums, because that was when you don't... Do you remember there's a period where everything had a dance remix, even Marilyn Manson by CD?
And they're trying to get Andrew to do one of these.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Just as chatting about Manson. Yeah.
You buy the double CD, sometimes 3 CDs of a single.
Yeah.
So every album would have 2 or 3 singles.
I'm thinking Tori Amos, Gotta Be Big, that one. Gotta Be Big, do you remember that?
No.
Gotta Be a Big... Tori Amos was a very gentle, folky woman to be turned into a dance remix, but they did it. They threw down the gauntlet and they did it.
That Fugees song that samples Enya.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just imagine the meeting where that was...
I like it when they do that, because Enya's like, to me, is quite a... It's not to be offensive to Enya, but quite tasteless in that sort of...
Yeah.
Do you know, nowadays, to be honest, nowadays I like everything.
Exactly. Enya's quite sort of like...
Something your mum played in the car, sort of.
Yeah,
thing. Not my mum, but a more traditional mum.
I like the idea that Lauryn Hill was listening to Enya and her dad.
Yeah. Oh, it's a bit like Eminem using Dido.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Lovely. Where else will they get?
And latterly, Elton John.
Latterly Elton John.
Yeah, well, when he was accused of homophobia, he was like, I'm not homophobic. Here's Elton John singing the Dido part of Stan. and he did it live with Elton John.
I mean, that
when you listen back to Eminem,
that does it for
was
me.
Homophobic, wasn't it? I love it. Like at the time, it was like just because I think the sort of there was a period. This is a massive detail, but there was a period where like the there were so many like scare stories about musicians that like, everyone was like, and my sort of default was always to be on the side of the musician. Like that was like the cool young people, like, yeah, Eminem's actually really clever, you just don't get it. And you listen back to it now and go, nah, it's just really unpleasant. A lot of
really not
stuff.
A nice guy.
I don't know if he's a nice guy or not, but I think like, that music was really unpleasant, wasn't it? The one where he's like killing his wife and like there's no real why is that being made?
Yeah. Who is it? What was empowering? It's empowering bad ideas, isn't it? It's not a nice.
I don't think. Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think he's shit. That's that. I'm a big hip hop fan. I think Eminem is shit. So
hip hop is. Are you a big hip hop fan? Yeah, that's in my ADHD tower of things. I don't have a tower, but you know, a pile of things that I need to get to. Mm. One of them's hip hop.
Right.
It's been like 35 years
me
now.
Me and Andrew went to see Pusha T.
Did you? Yeah. I don't know who that is.
He's Pusha T, that shit that makes your nose run, that guy.
Oh, that guy.
He was a drug dealer for a bit in the 90s, and then he's made a career out of rapping about it.
And he pushes T. What's Pusha T? Pusha ton of crack. Do you know where I'm almost into it? So my special interest is superhero comics, which is awful. Right. It makes me feel sick. As much as Marilyn Manson, I guess, could do. Superman's never done anything. Superman's pretty holy guy, really. If anything, he's the best of us. But there is that convergence of like the Wu-Tang Clan and comic books. Yeah, I think that's the closest I've got. Almost drew me in.
With the mask and... that's pretty cool.
And Doctor Doom stuff, and there was... Yeah. But I need to get into hip-hop.
It's because hip-hop is so
big. Is there a point where it's too late?
I'm like a big fan of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so big, you know?
I feel so sort of old and British to not understand hip-hop that I never did it. Do you know what I mean?
And it's the best thing in the world.
Oh, I've heard it and loved it.
Other music.
I've been thrilled by it, but I've never quite got into it. Okay, well, let's come back in a year. We'll see how we got on. There we go. All right, we haven't got to the show yet.
No, this is preamble.
A lot of my work in progresses are going like this at the minute. Right. So I've made a virtue of it, which is, that is a good segue. So that's what I want to talk about you, Joe.
Yes.
Is... the idea of this show is Sort Your Brain Out, Mate.
Yes.
Which is taken from this awful man that I knew who once said to his son in front of me, sort your life out, mate, which was a very unpleasant moment. And he's
How
one
old
of the...
was the son?
He was older than me, but I think he was probably 16. I was
at
a kid at the time.
Your...
He said it in such a sort of like... I think it was a moment where he was having a pot. He was being funny or something like that. You know, and a dad who comes in... my dad wasn't like this. He was a very nice guy, my dad. But they come in and deliberately sort of put them down in front of everyone else.
Yeah.
Anyway, this man, I won't say who he is, but this man has almost become like a sort of force in my brain. You know, you have the voices that are like...
You saw that before. That's so inspiring.
The voices that put you down. So I always think of him. So I'm trying to turn it around into sort your brain out. He's one of the voices I feel like I'm being... useless because of neurodiversity. I hear that voice going, sort your brain out, or sort your life out, mate. Mm. And so I'm trying to flip it so it becomes a positive thing. Does that make sense?
Be yourself. People say be yourself in a sort of like, often the subtext that is like, just relax and worry about it. Like, you're fine. Like, but being yourself in a sort of meaningful way. Sort of reclaiming, be yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing.
Saying that being yourself can be like a really weird, as in yourself could be quite an odd.
Be yourself could look really uptight and wanting to follow rules and be yourself. When people say, just be yourself, it means relax, just chill out and vibe.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
But being yourself might be being a bit more sort of ordered and regimented, and that might be who yourself is, and that's okay.
Yeah, or sort of jumping up and down or something for me, or something. Do you know what I mean? But I find that phrase, be yourself, that's one of the ones I hated as an actor when I started out. I still find it now. I think I've got
people
to...
People say that of actors, that's not what acting is.
Oh, it's
You're
horrible.
You're meant to be someone else. So
I went to Manchester Met Drama School, and a lot of my mates got these big London agents, and I didn't, and felt dreadful. Suffice to say, I've very much beaten them all now. But I end up with this quite odd Manchester agent in the end. But I did have to go down to see this I went down to see this London agent, and it was the worst. It was a very Simon Cowley experience in that it was like his mansion. It didn't go creepy, but as in like, and I had to go in and sit, and I just couldn't sit. Mm. Like, I didn't know how to sit. I kept crossing my leg, and he said something like, "You're an actor, be confident." And I was like, oh, fuck, this is horrible. It just got worse and worse and worse. But I remember people at the time, before it, I was freaking out about going to this thing, and everyone was going, just be yourself. And I came away going, no, I shouldn't be myself. Do you know what I mean? I tried to be myself, but I realised myself was, like, terrified and really unsure of how to behave. So in a way, I don't know. That was a long time ago, but maybe it would have been better to mask in that situation. We're jumping ahead quite a lot there, aren't we?
I think that broadly speaking, being yourself and being true to yourself, for me, has brought about merits. You know, I've been doing comedy for a while. It's only in the past few years that things have gone well for me.
Oh, it has.
And a big part of that is because I've sort of gone, well, let's. I've learned more about myself, and I've lent into being myself more.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I feel that
certainly
now.
The sound of authenticity as well.
In the last, literally, well, I got my ADHD diagnosed a year ago, and then I've been exploring that. And literally in the last year or two, I felt that a lot more. What I was doing? I think I was being myself, actually trying to be that person that I thought... I was trying to be the person that I thought being myself should be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I wasn't actually really being myself.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that, like, it's such, like, a sort of turn-off in comedy. You're somebody who sees sort of older club comics who are really nice and gentle backstage, and then they go in and do this, like, and horrible stuff.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's like, you know, it, on one level is... But it's not that I think that they shouldn't do that material as such, but it's that, like, it's just not being true to themselves, you know? And there's a few sort of older club comics who I think are very thoughtful people, but then do stuff that's... not as thoughtful, and it just, I think, why not bring yourself to it? That's what's exciting.
So with the sorting your brain out aspect of this, what I saw and admire with in love with you, there's lots I love with you, Joe, but seeing you on stage at the Comedia, so weirdly I still have this thing, and probably with those club comics.
Did you see me there?
I saw you there before you were on. I got there. I was on after you. I think I got there and you were on.
Comedia, because we were at Bath. Never mind.
Sorry. Oh, no, I didn't see you then because I had to shoot off. How was it? Was it all right?
It was, you know,
a bit of a weird gig,
like,
wasn't
for
it?
All of us,
yeah,
it was fine. It was fine.
Do you get when? Okay, there's so much to talk about, but watching you and talking about your autism and in a very, how can I say it? I just love the way you got them on side, and almost immediately, I was rewatching a little clip of you, your sort of intro where you talk about the vaccine. You got the vaccine gag and all that.
I think every autistic comic's got a vaccine joke.
Have they? Okay. But
luckily, there's not enough of us for it to become a cliche.
Yeah, fine. Well, I find that with the ADHD thing, because I've started talking about ADHD, and the ADHD gag is always like, oh, yes, so I've got ADHD. So the thing about ADHD is, oh, look, flamingos. That's the kind of gag, isn't it?
Often just your route in, isn't it? Comedy is like...
I'm trying to not do that to avoid doing that, because everyone's doing it.
Yeah, but sometimes that opens the door, and then you can talk about things in a more meaningful way, I think.
So, yes, no, that's true, isn't it? And well done those comedians who do that. Yes. I'm not trying to suggest they're in any way hack. But, so I go to the Comedia even, which is in Brighton, and a lovely, relaxed...
Wonderful, yeah.
Generally relaxed, isn't it? Mm. But I still go in, and I stand at the back, and I immediately think, oh, God, they're all going to hate me. These people are just going to hate me, right? And I guess this goes to the being yourself thing, because I'm still struggling to be myself on stage.
I really feel... Because I don't get that... I don't get nervous before gigs generally, unless it's like, you know, something that's like a really big deal.
Yeah.
Or someone in, you know, something like that. But... Yeah, there must be. So every gig, do you feel like that? You feel like, oh, I think it's going to...
I've got these two competing voices, one which is like, it's fine, it'll be fun, and one which is just, these people are going to, like, actually kill you. like as in they're going to storm the stage and, like, rip me to pieces. Obviously, I know that's not true, but it's like they're battling in my head. And it's like, but it's also like the ADHD thing. Again, I go on, I go, I don't think I've got enough material for this. And then I always do 5-10 minutes longer than I meant to. Quite easily. Before I, well, like today, like before I even got to the topic or the main sort of thrust of it. So you don't, do you, was there a point though where, but anyway, well, I mean, I had Anna Mann, my character, and then other characters before that, which really was like wearing a thing, like putting a thing on, an armor, which I guess wasn't that dissimilar to those club comics, like you say. They feel like they're going out to battle, you know, and they've got to put on this persona.
Yeah, but there was an authenticity to Anna Mann.
Yeah, there was. It got more so, and it was like I was coming through, weirdly, like a little... My image in my head was a penis. That's... I was trying to think of a nice image, but I just imagined a penis.
Oh, coming through, right, I see. So let's really talk through this.
It's gone very Cronenberg.
So Anna Mann was like, what, foreskin? And you were...
Anna Mann was like this big, fat foreskin over my career.
And as you became erect...
I'm slowly...
Colin Holt sort
emerging.
Of out through there. That's
yeah.
So beautiful.
Ironically, I'm circumcised.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't intend for any of that. I just want everyone listening to know I didn't intend for any of that. But what a lovely image they've got in their head right now.
Yeah.
Very Cronenberg-esque.
Yeah.
Would we like to see that? Now, once you've had an idea... I feel like once you've had an idea, like when I'm writing a script or something, and I think of something, I think, no, I can't say that. And I think, no, I've had the idea, I have to put it in, and then maybe get rid of it later.
Right.
Would you like to see that
Would
movie?
I like to see Anna Mann as a foreskin... And then you...
Is that how I should have ended my show?
Yeah.
We once... Years ago... Me,
just him, you poking
just
out.
Just coming through,
going,
yeah.
Ironically.
Oh! Like, ironically, I don't really know how they work. I was 5 when I got rid of them.
Right.
I don't... It's a bizarre idea to me.
Is it?
I don't know why that would... Why you'd want one of those. I'd just get rid of them straight away. But anyway, yeah... I did once do a show in my old double act, and we used to do, funnily enough, like a theatre group, and we did this fake play. And on, we were doing just work in progress at Latchmere in Clapham. Do you ever been in that one? They used to do like work in progress.
No, I've been to Clapham.
What do you think? We like it?
Good
place,
market.
Right?
Yeah,
a lot of fun. a lot of bars and stuff. Mm. But for some reason, they had a painting that was like a rubber sort of cross with a hole in it. Does that make sense? Like 2 sheets of rubber just crossed over.
Right.
So there was a gap.
So you could put your face through it.
Put your face through it.
Oh.
And then we reenacted me being born, coming through this thing.
Oh.
It's one of the best things we ever did. But we never thought to like, oh, let's make that for the show then. We just did it that once and then never went back to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think this foreskin thing is good. And I think we should definitely put it in a movie we make one day. But yeah, I'm shedding the foreskin of man.
Right, yeah.
If you like.
Sort your brain out, sort your brain out, mate.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I do think I'm autistic, which I feel weird saying and feel weird... And basically, by the end of the next 20 minutes, I want you to just diagnose yes or no, basically. If that's
but I think
right.
That's an interesting thing that people feel weird saying it, don't they? Because that is like, because we're so wedded to the medical model of like, it's an illness.
Yeah.
And so the reason, and I'm not saying it's wrong that you feel weird about it, but I think the reason we may feel weird about it
is, I mean, because the foreskin thing's an illness, isn't it? That's not normal.
You felt fine saying that, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I didn't actually. I kept going because I was trying to get out of it.
Right, but okay.
I felt more is less, weirdly.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on. Yeah, but people think with the... Sorry, what were you saying?
I think people are very wedded to the medical model. I think some people's sort of uncomfortableness around saying that, around sort of self-diagnosis is what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people's uncomfortableness around self-diagnosis is because they see it as this medical thing, and they see it as a thing that needs to be sort of gatekept, and actually the medical diagnosis is a very flawed process, you know. I am formally diagnosed, but I am also self-diagnosed because I've looked at my, do you know what I mean?
Right, like, so did you self-diagnose and then got a formal diagnosis later, kind
of probably like, you know, as part of that whole process I realized it was who I was, you know. I had like an informal diagnosis as a teenager and then a formal diagnosis as an adult,
right?
But you know, my own sort of reading and looking inward and thinking about my life and what working out what works for me and what's going to make me better in my work and in my life and in comedy or whatever, like, it's been much more meaningful than, you know, the day I spent with someone with, you know, a trained, whatever it was, psychologist, psychiatrist.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think is sort of, to me, that's more meaningful than the formal diagnosis.
Was it quite freeing realizing it, kind of thing? Was it?
Yeah, it was. It was a head fuck because my... So this is the conversation I had with my mother 5-6 years ago. She said to me, "Have I ever told you that you're autistic?" And I said, "No, you've never told me that. What are you talking about?"
Right.
And she said, "Yeah, we've known since you're a child." And I said, "Well, why didn't you tell me this?" And she said, "Well, we used to say you're like differently wired, didn't we?" And I said, "Well, I didn't really. I just thought that was like being different."
Yeah.
And then she said, "Why did you think that I used to run that support group for parents of autistic children?"
Right.
and then it all started to add up. I thought, yeah, it was weird that my mum used to do that, you know. So it was like.
And was that? Did she not want to tell you because she did earlier because she didn't want to give you the label or whatever?
She says that. Her and my dad had a conversation with me. I had a lot of mental health problems as a teenager.
Right.
That they'd had a conversation with me where it was like, given this sort of informal diagnosis, and they said, we think we should put forward a diagnosis, and I didn't want it. I don't remember this conversation, but,
right.
You know, I don't know. Who am I to call my mother a liar?
Yeah.
I think, like, but again, you know, that, like, the model when I would have had that diagnosis was different, you know, was the medical model. There wasn't we weren't talking about neurodiversity then.
We
were talking about autism as an illness people have. So I think that there was a period where I was sort of annoyed that, you know, that I felt like this had been sort of kept from me, but at the same time, like, the only model there was to make reference to at that time was one where you had something wrong with you, which is fundamentally not what I believe.
What would be considered more extreme, or... Well, I know it's not so much extreme, but as in what you'd think of as autistic.
No, so just in terms of, like, the... So I guess that the old model is that people have autism. That's a thing they have, you know, and it may be of different severities, you know, and that people have it. Whereas my model, I would look at it, is that people are autistic, and that's part of the diversity that we have in the world, is you know, that some people are autistic and some people are not, and people are autistic in different ways.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, the only model you could look to, you know, we're all sort of like trying to work ourselves out, and we're looking at models in the world and going, well, what do I fit this identity? Do I fit this identity? Whatever. The only identity there was back then was a thing you have wrong with you. That was the only identity which you could look to. Whereas now we have this new identity of neurodiversity, of this is a thing I am. This is a different way of being. This is a way where I could structure the things around me in a better way so that my life is better. And that is like a model that has helped me as an adult a lot. Mm-hmm. I get, you know, like the social model of disability, you know. That's helped me a lot, but that didn't sort of exist in the mainstream when I was a teenager. So it's easy for me now to think, oh, if I'd known I was autistic when I was 13, my life would have been so much easier.
Yeah.
But actually, the the model which I would have had to grab for would have been that medical model, and I would have grown up thinking there was something wrong with me that wouldn't have been able to be cured, you know? And that's not what I believe.
Because I'd say from the other perspective, I'd say there's always... I'd see it like that, but the opposite way, in that I've always thought there's something different about me or something wrong with me, but I don't see it, you know. And then the freedom to understand, oh, I think it's because I'm autistic. Do you know what I mean? And originally I was, you know, and I've got the diagnosis of ADHD, which I've had, but that doesn't quite answer everything for me, you know. And at the end of my Anna show, I talk about how, as Anna talking to me about... you know, that I could never communicate with people properly. I couldn't quite reach people. I didn't quite know how to deal with social situations. And I've sort of said that's ADHD in it, but I actually think it's more autism, really, if the more I look into it.
Yeah, you know? That's why I like the term neurodivergent. I sort of maybe slightly crass to make sort of comparisons with like sexuality, but I think lots of people finding that sort of very boxed in ideas of sexuality aren't working for them, so they're looking for more sort of umbrella terms. And I think that neurodivergence like that, because it's for me it's quite helpful. The definition of autism and autist, I've read Neurotribes, which I'd really recommend people read by Silberman.
Okay.
And it's a history of autism and autistic people.
Yeah.
And my real takeaway from it was just how the definitions of it have been written not by us but by people outside us, and people who maybe don't have our interests at heart, and that's how that definitions have been written through history. So you know, whether or not you sort of fit, I've met someone who was told they were two-thirds autistic, you know, there's three criteria, they got two of the three, you know. What does that mean for that person in their life?
Yeah.
You know, and I think neurodivergence is quite nice as a sort of inclusive umbrella term. Because then we can go, well, yeah, that's what we are. You know, my brain works in a way that's different to the main.
Have you ever used it? Because I feel like with the comedy, you come out and you... And I was watching a thing you were talking on a podcast maybe about how you're always, you know, autistic. It's just within comedy, it's sort of accepted when you're on... Do you know what I mean? Like, as in you're the same person, you're just kind of...
Yeah. It works... Just that conversation works a lot better for me. That's a conversation which I can... I mean, we all have this in comedy, don't we? Where people will go, oh, you're so brave doing comedy.
Yeah.
And you're like, but... Well, no, because it's not brave to me, because I know how...
That's who I am. That's what I talk about. And totally. I'm still in this place where I'm like, was that okay? Where I sort of feel like, was that all right? What I just... Because... When I first started doing it, new kind of comedy I'm doing, and I think sometimes I'm falling back on talking like Anna, and sometimes I'm falling back on almost being a bit a bit like that, aggressive with the crowd a little bit, because I've in a kind of like I'll attack you before you attack me type way. Do you know what I mean? Attack, but kind of, you know, just pick on someone, for want of a better. I don't like to think of it as picking on someone, but I like to think it's chatting. But you know, I mean, I don't know, I would sort of put on a thing, and it's like this wrestle inside myself. But there's been where I've been doing these work in progress, it's like at the Bill Murray and stuff, and I feel like cleansed, because I'm just talking how I actually... And it's like, I can't believe people are listening. And people are like, yeah, it's great, you know, like, or just into it. It's wonderful. Have you ever used it, like, in situations? Because I feel like using it quite a lot in situations where there's sort of thing that would stress you out, but it's a normal everyday thing. Like something on a train or something like that, or I don't know what, you know, affects you in that way, but like where you just say, I just kind of want to say, sorry, I'm neurodiverse, I don't want to have this conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Because
there's expectations, isn't there? Like that kind of, you know, smile more is a classic one, or like,
a lot of the sort of vagueness of like, particularly in this industry of, I talked about it in my latest show, but like people go, oh, great, Joker coming for a chat. You know, it's the thing, like someone from a production company has come to see you, go, oh, come in for a chat.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I want to know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be better at being like, can you just give me an idea of what things we want to talk about? And that's such like a small thing. And I know from the outside, that's not a big deal. But
it's massive. It's massive in your own head, though, isn't it? Like I did a thing the other day, and there was just loads of information they were sending me, and it was like a radio job. Was it because of that? It was something to do with getting picked up and where it was going to be. And I said, I can't. And I wouldn't normally do this. I'd just stress out and freak out about it and not be able to look at it and just probably forget about it and then be late or whatever, you know. But I was like, you can't send it like this. I don't understand what you're saying. Do you know what I mean? It's too much information. Can you make it simpler for me? Yeah. Or just make it clearer?
Because from the outside, I can see that's a very acceptable thing to ask. Uh-huh. You know, to say, can you just tell me exactly where I've got to wait for the... You know, and I'll send an email saying, oh, yeah, you wait at this place for the taxi and they take you.
Yeah.
You know, like, and break it down to something simple. But, like, when it's your own sort of, you know, access needs, it feels like... It feels much more difficult to ask those things. So you think...
I felt good asking for it, but he replied like, oh, well, your agent didn't tell me anything about this. And I thought, oh, fuck, I don't think that's okay. He's a very nice guy, but I'm like, well, it's not like... But because then you're kind of turning it into a like, oh, by the way, be careful with him, he's a bit autistic. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like turning you into a... And it's like, no, I'm just trying to tell you this is how my brain works.
Yeah.
And it's easier if you don't... It was like a real like spreadsheets and it was like very complicated. You know?
Just, did you say ADHD or
I said neurodiverse. So I just say neurodiverse because I'm with the autism. I am like part of this podcast is I sort of wanted to document my journey in it, into it. But having ADHD, I like have done nothing about it. I'll like start to go down the route of getting a diagnosis and then sort of forget.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's quite a lot you have to do nowadays. I guess probably a lot of people are doing it. I mean,
it's quite an upsetting process because it's all based on what people perceive to be wrong with you, and that is the diagnosis model still. Mm. So like in order to get that diagnosis, you have to like show all. Oh, here's all the times when I struggled and was
it's like prove it then. Come on then, prove it. That's what I feel. That guy going sort your brain out. It's that guy a bit in my head sort of going. It's like you're being tested. You know, show us your papers then. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and that's a bit actually probably why I feel a bit eggshelly talking to you about autism, just because I feel a bit, am I getting this wrong? Do you know what I mean? On some level, even talking about it.
I think everything written or said about neurodiversity now in 10 years' time is going to be dated. And so I think we just have to embrace that fact that everything is, you know, we're just doing our best to sort of progress the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, even the most sort of clued up person, their ideas are going to date, I think.
Yeah, probably. It's quite thrilling, though. Do you find it quite thrilling?
Yeah, I think it's really... I think there's so many... It feels like one of the things where there's still big questions that haven't been worked out at all. I think in a lot of other sort of the big ideas are sort of quite established. But, you know, we have these... I say neurodivergent. Like, you know, we have this term and like... But it's a very broad term, but it's been born out of, like, I guess, like the autistic rights movement.
Yeah.
But it applies to so many different
neurodiversity, has it?
Well, that's where, I guess that language comes from, like, predominantly the autistic rights
movement. Oh, okay,
But actually includes a lot of different people. So then what's that going to look like in the future, you know? And how are people going to want to... Yeah, someone who has borderline personality disorder is going to be very different to my experiences. And going forward, are we, you know, what is that movement and that discussion going to look like? Are we going to be, you know, is it going to merge into one big discussion or is it going to be separate things?
I think you're absolutely right about the comparing it with the sexuality sort of movement and stuff as well. Because I do feel a bit like I am what I am now. Do you know what I mean? I do have that quite... thrill of sort of going, no, this is who I am. It's great. In my yoga class the other day, which I adore, and it's very helpful for my brain, I think.
Right.
But they did say something about breathing. I talk about breathing, and they said breathing can reverse some things like diabetes and ADHD.
There's that book in my wife's room.
I didn't say
the
anything
book,
about
Breath
it.
And reverse ADHD.
And I felt a little bit. I often get. I did. You know what I mean? I'm not someone who really gets offended. At all, if I'm honest about myself.
No.
I sometimes get offended, you know, not for other people in that way, but like by just people being horrific. But like, it's often delayed. So like, it's like on the way home, I'm like,
I was offended.
Well, that's sort of saying you're trying. Yeah, it's very much like that. I think in French, it's called l'esprit d'escalier.
Wow.
Which I got from a comic book, The Spirit of the Stairway, Andrew. So I forgot you were there then, Andrew. I like to just give him little facts, you know, because he's only young. But Yeah, and I suddenly thought, oh. And there was this slight, I mean, I've got a big affiliation with the X-Men, you know, and it's right. very nerdy and awful.
Yeah, yeah.
But I totally, I definitely can see how, why people of, you know, people who are neurodiverse or people whose sexuality is not, you know, the heterosexual, whatever, do go towards that sort of thing. Because it is this kind of like accepting broad world, you know.
Mm.
And there is that within the X-Men, there is this whole thing, we're mutants, you're trying to change us. Do you know what I mean? Why can't we be who we are? And I sort of came away with that feeling a little bit. And it made me sort of question the whole ADHD thing. I was like, because it is a fucking problem. Like, it is, like, even talking to you now, today, I've gone a bit like, shit, I haven't properly thought about this or anything. I listened to a news agent's podcast on the way here. Right. Do you know what I mean? And then I'm like, but so it is a problem. It is a issue. And I'm not like trying to go, yeah, it's actually a superpower, you know, because I find that stuff a little bit disingenuous sometimes because it is really, it makes my life very difficult.
Mm.
But now I've totally bought into it and not bought into it, sounds like, but, you know, accepted it and living it. And I feel like, oh, you're trying to reverse me.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if I breathe properly, I'll be reversed. It's a bit, I mean, I guess I don't, she's a lovely person. I think she just means, I think she actually just means the symptoms. The stressful things.
That's just also the baseline, isn't it? Of like what most people like are taught. You know, if you're taught this is an illness people have and it's really sad for them.
Yeah.
Then like, why would you think differently? You know, it's not like it's not people being hateful as such. It's just people being.
No, I don't think it's like a Nazi type thing.
No,
I hope not. Although there is that weird Venn thing with wellness and right-wing ideas that's coming out nowadays. I'm always like, please don't say anything. I love this class. Please don't say anything that makes me not able to come again. But I've just thought back to the whole foreskin thing then. I'm sorry about that. But powerful stuff, image.
It was, though, wasn't
quite
it? An
it was
image.
A powerful image, Andrew. Did you come away quite...
Aroused.
Yeah.
There must be like artists image. Who listen to this that could do a painting.
One I'm of sure our, there are.
Podcasts with Abigail Ashimone.
Yeah, I know. I've started listening.
We had a
great.
Listener that did a painting of me that was very powerful.
Oh, lovely.
Do you think that one of your listeners?
I'm sure. I'd like someone to do that. Actually,
man as a foreskin, but you
with Colin emerging as a penis.
Yeah.
So would I have be like bald with a split? Or
I
would
think
I?
So. Yeah, yeah. That's how I imagined it. Yeah.
A spurting penis.
Possibly. I was writing a little speech bubble that says, ironically, I'm circumcised.
It's done. It's there. Yeah. All the challenge is thrown down.
Yeah.
I was going to ask a much more boring thing that they do. I've sort of set up this series as if it's like a fantasy trek through a world of neurodiversity.
Right.
Which I now think is the cheesiest, most awful thing. Like, but I thought someone could do a map of that. Of like the swamps of sadness, and the mines of misinformation and all this. But anyway, but I think me emerging from the Anna foreskin is much more visceral and real, as Anna would say. It's very Francis Bacon.
That's like, yeah, like
slightly pervy of Francis
the one
Bacon.
Like, the long grey things, but like that, yeah.
The Screaming Pope.
Is that what? No, yeah, that's, what's the
I was imagining the Screaming Pope, but up dick.
That's also very,
I referenced Francis Bacon in a gig at The Forge the other day. And it was going quite hard. It was quite a hard gig. I sort of went out a bit. I felt like I went to ADHD. Like
right.
I came out like, hey, everybody! I just had loads of coke. There was a man sat behind me, and one thing that Anna's definitely given me is just like constantly referencing where everyone is in the room. So Anna, I always used to go, why are you sat there? That's a stupid place to sit. So I can still do that as me.
Mm.
And he did look like this painting, this Francis Bacon painting of, it's like a couple in bed with these two sort of naked men with glasses just watching them. It's the creepiest painting.
Francis Bacon's incredible, isn't he? It's just so...
Oh, my God.
There's something so... You just saw... Have you been to his studio in Dublin?
No.
It's you go... You,
I've been to Dublin. I loved it. That's a reason to go back.
He was trying to find something, wasn't he? You know? Do you know what I mean?
Trying to find just answers.
Inside himself. Trying to say something that... Whenever you watch his paintings, there's almost like a sort of like... weird sort of like they're not completely finished because I know slash
yeah
like where you're like always almost touched on the most important.
Oh, do you think that's what it is? That he hasn't, he's trying to dig it and
it just
he hasn't
always
quite...
feels like he had something inside him that he needed to get out. If you go to a studio, it's a fucking mess. Like, it's just so chaotic.
Yeah.
And there's like a, you go, it's like been lifted up piece by piece from, I was in London, I think it was, and taken to Dublin, where I think he was born.
Right.
And like, and it, there's a quote where it says, the chaos in my
studio. Oh, they lifted the whole studio and put it in Dublin from
I think it was, each item was itemised and put back exactly in its place. And it's very, very messy. But it's an incredible thing, you know. It's quite moving
because
you realize that he was, you know, a very unhappy person.
Oh, was he very disturbed? Do you think with a lot of, and again, I don't know if this is a stupid thing to say, but I certainly think it's about my old family, as in not my, you know, as in the family I've come from.
Right.
The Brotherhood of Man.
The Animal Kingdom.
Right, humanity. No, yeah. I mean, my actual family.
Right.
I get nervous talking about them because it feels, I don't know, I feel like I have to talk about because they're obviously part of my story, but I feel like, anyway, I can see a lot of new...
When you say other family, it sounds like...
It sounds like I've got two families.
Yeah.
No, my...
Your parents and siblings.
My parents and siblings.
Right.
That's what they're called.
Yes,
that's what they call themselves.
Yeah.
But they... There's definitely a lot of neurodiversity amongst them that has been untalked about, undiagnosed and stuff. And I think caused a huge amount of pain that it wasn't diagnosed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I think that, like, so much of the struggle comes from... Like, so for me, the big task for all of us is to separate... what it is to be neurodivergent and what it is to be neurodivergent in a world that isn't accepting and that puts neurodivergent people down, you know? So, like, you may, as an ADHD person, have had experiences of, like, you know, people saying, oh, you're useless or whatever, like, that sort of thing. And that can affect...
Late and messy and scattered.
Yeah. And that can affect people's self-esteem, but it's not an inherent part of having ADHD, having low self-esteem.
Yeah.
But because the world is very unkind to people.
Yeah,
And, you know, the same with sort of, I think there's loads of sort of autistic things where, you know, I think of these things as being... we think of them as being autistic traits, but actually they're the traits of being autistic in a world that treats you a certain way.
Yeah,
they sound like the same thing. But
do you mean
not
the traits, as in things like mental health issues, like depression?
Yeah, just like
100%.
I don't have like as much as some other autistic people. To some extent, I might need for like. Order and like, you know, or like I always like to, when I'm doing a gig, I like to know who else is on the gig, you know. And I had to do a rehearsal thing last week and I didn't know who was gonna be on, and I felt that quite stressful. But is that an autistic trait, or is that because I've had loads of experiences where I've said the wrong thing and I've been told off for saying the wrong thing. And now I'm hyper-vigilant to it, so I like to know who's going to be there so I can have a few things I might be able to say to them or talk to them about, and I can sort of rehearse that a little bit.
Right. Do you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've started to do that kind of thing.
Is that like... Do you know what I mean? So is my need to know what's going to happen, is that an autistic trait, or is it like almost... I don't want to use the term trauma response, but, you know, almost like the response to, like, lots of times when I was growing up, people said, you said the wrong thing, or I bump into someone in the street and say something weird, and then I sort of, like, think they'd sort of...
Oh, God, yeah. I had it, yes. I get it in certain places like the gym. I talk about the gym, don't I? But where I feel like I said something... Because like you saying about being on stage comedy, it's okay if you're... you're literally paid to be funny. You have to be funny. If you're not funny, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But, like, there, you're sort of...
You can be
being funny with people lifting serious weights.
Yeah.
And then... But just a look, which that look might actually just be like, they didn't hear me.
Yeah.
But I'll take away as like, God, they hate me, and then in my brain it quite quickly goes to they want to destroy me sometimes. Do you know what I mean? If I'm not feeling healthy.
Beck Hill on our podcast, we did a live podcast, and this of me is such like just sums my whole life up. Where I went, I'll have to speak to you because last time I saw you, you said this, and I said this really weird thing, and this is why I said this weird thing.
Yeah.
And she was like, I have no recollection of
that. Oh, God, really?
And I said, well, I've thought about it every day.
Oh, you can just carry it around forever, can't you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so tough. My family members will go on for the old family, you know, not the new one.
The ones in the attic, yeah.
But they'll get, like, one little thing, and it, Oh,
like,
no.
Please, can we have some food?
There'll be something else. Yeah, yeah, just feed us, Colin. But I do my shows for them, and they love it.
Yeah.
No, no. But they get to a... No, there'll be one thing, and I'll know, because they won't properly respond in WhatsApps or something, and it'll turn out to be one tiny thing that I said that they completely misconstrued.
Yeah.
And they've had months of it. Do you know what I mean? But I think they've battened down the hatches so much in there. But weirdly, they're aware of autism and they think they are as well. But they can't make the leap to going, that's okay. And I'm going to, you know.
It's very hard. It's almost, yeah, it's hard,
you know, this whole sort of sing if you're glad to be gay type thing that happened in the
70s. Yes.
When did gays pop up?
Well, I thought you meant...
What's the gay thing?
Specifically that album. The album.
It was the 70s, wasn't it? But I feel a bit like that. And I sometimes I look at them and I think... And also they get into like traps, you know, like Daily Mail traps and sort of obsessions and conspiracies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all this would go away. And that's very probably wrong of me to assume that, I know. But I can just picture a world where all that stuff will go away, all this stuff they're carrying, because they just go, oh, I'm autistic, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they sort of know they are and say they are, but they won't. That's like, if you're autistic, you'll be locked up, basically, is the way they've got stuck.
I think also that, there can be that sort of way you've lived your whole life that way. I think even for like a, you know, and I'm aware of it, so I can chip, but for like younger... I'm very jealous of younger people who are able to be themselves more.
Yeah.
And, like, it's easy to have that impulse to be like, fuck you, I fucking suffered, like, sharp, you know what I mean? And that's such a horrible impulse, but that, I think, is... And I think if you're someone who sort of, you know, is sort of a lot older, it could be difficult to be open to the idea of being yourself.
God,
because you've spent your whole life sort of going, well, I've got by all right, actually, I've got, you know... And
it's like pushing a rock up a hill, isn't it?
Yeah,
trying to just get to that point, you know?
It's like pushing a rock up a hill and then being told, oh, you don't need to push that, no, you can just...
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I had a thing once. There's just one thing that always makes me think back to it is when I was a kid, and I remember you're wearing a Pulp t-shirt, which is lovely.
I am, yeah.
And
oh my God. So
Pulp was one of my, like, coming out as Jarvis Cocker. I don't know, like, not coming out. Is Jarvis Cocker a sexuality now?
I think it's on the list, yeah.
It's on the list.
Jarvis Cocker was, for me, someone... I would say broadly I am heterosexual.
Yeah.
Jarvis Cocker, someone who made me very confused growing up.
Really, yeah.
He's a magical man.
Oh, 100%. But I wanted to be him, and I went out for the first time with my mate. We went to the Cookie Club in Nottingham. We were 15, and I wore my grand's glasses on my head.
Right.
I used to wear, and I found these old pair of glasses. And it was just like, fuck, I can be this guy. I can be this... Do you know what I mean? And playing around being that person. And then I started to wear it. So it's six, then got in sixth form and just started to wear them going in school. You know, I could wear these, the more outrageous I could be.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was wearing like Lycra tops that were like lime green, stuff like that. And I remember this like, they're in the year below me. And it's always stuck in my head. And it was a lad and a girlfriend walking behind me. And I sort of knew them both. Well, I knew her. And I, you know, like, I thought we were friends, you know, that kind of thing. We walk around talking about me. And I remember really stuck in my head, they're like, it's like he's taking the piss out of us, isn't it? I always remember saying that. And that's always stuck in my head. And I'm like, oh, if I express myself, I'm taking the piss out of you. Do you know what I mean?
It's,
they were really, and they were just like muttering about me the whole way up this hill to school. And I'm like, they're just really like, fuck you, you know, look at him wearing them fucking clothes. It's like he's, and they're just like, they're like, and talking like 50-year-old Nottingham people as opposed to 15-year-old Nottingham people. But just sort of going, you know. And I remember him going, it's like he's taking the piss out of us, isn't it? And everyone went, yeah.
Who's the us?
Us, as in normal people.
Right. That's funny.
As in by dressing up.
You're making fun of humanity.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think that's stuck in my head. I'm not saying that's...
That's sort of a wonderful thing, though, isn't it? I think that's really beautiful. That's what I want to do.
Is it beautiful?
I want to take the piss out of human beings.
Yeah.
be like a parody of, like a satirical drawing of a human. That's what I want to be.
Yeah.
The Pulp line that was...
So do you think you would, like, try and take hold of that, like I'm trying to do with Sort Your Brain Out? That's quite a... Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I like that. I'm making fun of human beings.
But also, it's so like the idea that the two things can't coexist. There can't be people that are walking around in their Umbro jumpers and people walking around in a Lycra green top.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't have those two things if you're doing that, you're taking the piss out of hers. And I get really freaked out by all Brexit type, do you know what I mean? And sort of GB News type thinking, because I feel like, I don't know, I feel sort of persecuted for my existence by that stuff. But maybe that's going too far. I've gone too far. Andrew, I've gone too far. Abort.
I agree.
Answer
yes.
that.
Yes, yeah, yeah. The line that was so important to me in Pulp was in yeah. Misshapes, where he says, the future that you've got mapped out is nothing much to shout about.
Wonderful.
And, like, that was just, like, a moment for me where I was like, fuck, like, that's... Like, I've got to be... I am an outsider. I've got to be...
Embrace it.
Yeah, I've got to, like, not, you know, be the sort of, you know, can't do a 9-to-5. I can't, you know, have, like, the sort of, like, normal life. I saw Pulpit Latitude, and I was so ready for that line, because that was, like, a life-changing line. Oh. And just as he's about to say it, a woman like to goes, oh, can I get a pass, please, right in front of me. So angry.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I saw them at... Was it a Latitude that time? And at right at the end, I think it was actually just Jarvis, but right at the end he went, I know there's a song you all want to hear. You've all come to hear one particular song and we can't go about doing it. Okay, one last time, right? And everyone's like, the whole crowd are like, you know, and common people. You know.
Oh, he did do common
people? Well, that's what we're thinking. We're all right. Excited. And he goes, okay, so here we go. One last time. And then he goes, I've got to ask you something. And we're all like, and he goes, have you got the Eye of the Tiger? And then they did the Eye of the Tiger.
Wow.
As in, it's the Eye of the Tiger. It was one of the funniest moments.
That is, I've seen Björk do a similar
thing. He's so funny.
I saw Björk at Wilderness, and at the end she goes, she does like, she's doing a lot of weird, like, filmic type sort of cinematic stuff.
Yeah.
It's not a festival set, but it's fucking incredible.
Right.
And at the end she goes, I'm going to do one more song. It's a quiet song. In fact, you could say it's so quiet. And everyone goes, yeah! And she just does a quiet song. Just a quiet song.
Wonderful. Well, I feel like this was fun.
Yes, I really enjoyed it.
This podcast, it started like a big foreskin, and I feel like gradually a penis
emerged. Now we're emerging. Yeah.
I'm regretting saying it. I'm regretting going back to it.
Yeah.
But, Joe, maybe one time you could come back.
I would love that, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I feel like we've barely scratched the surface.
We have, yeah.
You know, I started a bit edgy today. I feel a bit like that, do you know what I mean? A bit off. But next time...
With the penis material.
Yeah.
I like the
imagine if I'd spent hours idea. Writing that the night before. It's like, this is going to kill.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Well, enjoy your corporate.
Thank you. Cheers.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe Wells.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Into the Neuroverse with me, Colin Holt. That was produced by Comedy Kerfuffle with music by Eyes on Legs. Now, please, this is the good bit. You must subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Leave us a review on Apple and recommend the show to all your friends, especially people who you think desperately need it, but they don't know yet. If you'd like to keep the show going, you can support us at patreon.com/Colin Holt. Give a little bit of money and that keeps the whole thing flowing. Follow us at Neuroverse Pod and at Colin Holt Comedy. Bye.
Sort your brain out. Baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. And let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out. Lady, sort your brain out. Crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, mate.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.